This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour, Beaupre, either way, former president of CU, dude. Did he play the sports? That's all I know. He didn't play the sports. Okay, all right. Michael did the same thing to me, and I was like, "You can trouble me for a warm glass of shit the hell up." We got Brian Howell joining us. He would know a thing or two about that president. Here in just a moment with Buff Zone. He is our Buffs insider. Michael is efforting at the moment to get him on. Buffs are trying to recover after losing to Houston 36-20. And that was, there was a moment there at the end of the first half where it kind of looked like Ryan Staub was the guy. Look, I like his fire. He's got a lot of that fire, but not enough firepower for Coach Prime and the Buffs as they're going back to Caden Salter. We got him now. We got Brian. We got him on? Okay. Brian Howell joining us, Buff Zone. Brian, my friend, I'm looking forward to see what the Buffs do going back now with Caden Salter.
Yeah, me too. That's what we think is going to happen on Saturday. And I'm of the belief that they never should have gone away from him, but they did. And I think that it sort of created some of this mess. I think that if they had stuck with him, they might have some more continuity on offense and it would look better, but I'd like to see him again and have him just be committed to, and let's just see him for a few games.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Like, I get it. Staub came in, he injected some life during the Delaware game, but I just thought it was far too soon to give up on kind of the plan that you believed you had through most of the offseason once you knew Caden Salter was going to be a Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, and it was, to me, it was one of the more odd quarterback benchings I've seen. It's interesting, though, because Coach Prime on his coach's show with Mark Johnson the other day said something that he kind of paused and said, if you knew what we knew, then maybe you'd understand a little more. And so it tells me that there's probably something that Caden Salter wasn't doing off the field and maybe a message to him. And, Coach Prime mentioned this week, I said, what do you want to see out of Caden Salter? He goes, leadership. Leadership and consistency. And so I'm thinking maybe he wasn't stepping up as a leader like they want. Maybe he was not taking care of things in the classroom. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But it sounds to me like maybe there was something beyond just the football field. Like, Caden, take care of your business. You're the starting quarterback here.
Yeah, that's interesting, Brian, to hear that, because it did seem strange. The timing of everything seemed kind of strange. So now that you say something like that, it's like, well, maybe just wasn't seeing enough in the locker room or outside the locker room. That's fascinating to me, and that would make more sense as to why we saw Ryan Staub get the start against Houston.
Yeah, because really, I mean, you look at Caden Salter, what he's done so far, and it's like, well, like that, he wasn't great. But he gave them a shot to win a game against the Georgia Tech team. It now looks pretty darn good, you know. So you can't fault him for being in the game against Georgia Tech. And then game two, all he does is take you out to a 10-0 lead, and then he gets benched. So he hasn't played poorly.
No, it was a confusing situation for sure, but they're going. Sounds like at least they're going back to him, going up against a Wyoming team. They're interesting. Offensively, not so much, but defensively, they did have Utah on the ropes for a moment. You get mid-third quarter, and then suddenly it just seemed like that defense was on the field far too long for Wyoming, and then ultimately Utah ends up winning big. They end up covering, actually. It didn't feel like that, but the Cowboys showed me on one side of the ball, they can be pretty darn good, but on the other side, yikes. So that's an opportunity for maybe the Buffs looking at that saying, we got to find a way to stop the run. Wyoming, kind of all they have is the run game, so I am curious to see what's going to give in this one.
Yeah, because the Buffs have had some issues stopping the run, obviously, but it's been running quarterbacks that have hurt them mostly, and Caden Anderson of Wyoming is not a running quarterback. I think he's got 10 yards rushing in 30-some carries over the last 2 years, so I could see maybe Wyoming trying that because that's what CU has been burned by. But this is a chance for the Buffs defense to get right a little bit and to prove themselves a little bit. I think that's a key in this one. And offensively for the Buffs, you know, with Caden Salter, it's an opportunity for them to get right as well. I mean, this Wyoming defense has been pretty solid, but, you know, Utah burned them, and they ran for a lot of yards last week. And the Buffs need to get their run game going a little bit, too.
And you saw, you know, with Utah, a running quarterback, former New Mexico quarterback in Devin Dampier. And that also might be an opportunity for Caden Salter because Dampier ran for almost 100 yards. I thought Wyoming kind of contained him at first. And then, like I said, it kind of started to break free. But that could bode well for the running game when it comes to the quarterback side of things.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, the Buffs have struggled with running quarterbacks forever. And, you know, we've talked about, like, those that cover the team and say, man, it'd be nice if the Buffs ever had one of those guys. And it feels like Caden Salter can be one of those guys. And so that's why I'm looking forward, going back to what we originally talked about, seeing them maybe turn him loose and just let him use his natural skills and just see what it looks like. Because I think he can look pretty good. And I think Caden Salter could really spark this offense on Saturday.
How about the rest of these running backs for CU? I mean, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. I was looking this morning. The Buffs are 104th out of 134 when it comes to rushing yards at this point. I would like to see. Now I know Michael Welch. What do you have? 5 carries. Not very good last week. But I feel like there's something there with this dude, and I'm not ready to give up on him. I think that I think he could be a big time game changer for the Buffs.
Yeah, and hey, that 104th is way better than what it's been the last 2 years, so you'll take it, right?
Yeah, sure.
When they were dead last in the country. Yeah, Michael Welch, he had a really good first game against Georgia Tech, and he has done nothing. He had a 10-yard touchdown run in week two, but other than that run, he's literally been tackled behind the line of scrimmage, I think, every carry. I don't know what's going on with him, but Simeon Price has stepped up and had a really nice start to the year, a guy that I didn't expect anything from because he's a fifth-year senior that didn't ever do anything at Mississippi State or Coastal Carolina, and he wasn't even doing anything in high school. He's a very interesting case. When you look back at his high school, his production there was more as a receiver. He hardly ever ran the ball. But here he is making some plays for the Buffs. So they got an interesting running back room. I agree with you. There's something there. I don't know if it's Michael Welch or if it's Price. Or if it's Dallin Hayden getting healthy, but there's something interesting in that room.
Do you see the Buffs kind of taking more of that approach this weekend? Like, let's really try to settle in here, not put too much on Caden Salter right off the bat, and try to really establish that ground game early on with the running backs, maybe running with Caden too, but really trying to ground and pound a little bit.
I think so. They got a little bit of it going, in that week one, but. I mean, they struggled sometimes to run the ball against Delaware even. So they need to get that going. I mean, their pass blocking has been pretty good, but their run game just has not been great. And again, it's way better than it's been the last 2 years, but I think that they need a really solid game out of that run game. But they also want to get those wide receivers involved. So I'm not sure they really know what they want to do yet, but they have a lot of things they want to do.
Brian, it might be safe to say they don't really have an identity, maybe. I know that's another that's another bad word over there, but Coach Prime didn't really seem to like that. It just doesn't seem like they have that identity right now.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Coach Prime will say something like that, and then the next day his tight ends coach talks and says, we need to find an identity on offense. You know, it's like, okay. Do you need an identity or not? I mean, obviously they need to figure something out. And we knew what they hung their hat on the last couple of years, which was Shadur's arm. They've got to figure out something with this offense to where every week teams have to worry about something, you know, worry about that run game, worry about Caden Salter being that dual threat, whatever it is. And so they got to figure that out, and it starts this week.
Brian, this game is just – it's huge. You finish up your non-conference slate here, and then it's off to take on, you know, BYU. And I know their predictions certainly changed with their quarterback situation, but they're 2-0 to start the season. Then you got TCU. Then you really get into the thick of things with Iowa State and Utah down the road. This is a big one when you're talking about the Buffs at least being a bowl team, and you need to get this one.
Yeah, if they don't win this one, they're not going to be in a bowl game because there's just – I don't think there's any shot they're going to win. If they're 1-3 going into the rest of conference play, they're not going to win five more games, in my opinion. You have to win this one because you got to somehow find four conference wins the rest of the way. And, you know, BYU, they're a tough team, and that might be one of your easier conference games because you mentioned those three after that. That's tough. I mean, TCU, Iowa State, Utah, good luck. I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to win one in that group of three right there. So it's a tough schedule they got coming up, and they really have to get this one and probably next week too.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. All right, not necessarily X's and O's related, but I did see the release that the new Ralphie 7, set to make her debut this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think it is X's and O's because she can run.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I was going to ask, if she can move.
The run game starts with her. And, you know, the Ralphie 6 retired, and they cited a, quote, indifference to running. And their release today said that she definitely does not have an indifference to running. And I've heard that she is very fast, and the fans will love her.
So what do they do for the first outing? And I haven't been. I've seen, obviously, Ralphie run, and I love it. I think it's the best pregame ritual in all of college. I'm a sucker for live animals out there. What do they do day one, though? Is this kind of more of a, we're going to walk it around? Or are they going to go full bore here, run up and down the field?
Yeah, they need to run her because if she trots or walks, that's not going to go over well with the way Ralphie 6 was doing that. Ralphie 7 needs to come out and set the tone tomorrow night with a really nice run because we have not seen a Ralphie have a really good run since Ralphie 5.
Yeah, well, that might be a boost right there with that fan base too, just to even see her out there. But then if you start seeing her turn on the Jets at such a young age, that could light this place up late Saturday night.
And, you know, honestly, people might laugh at that, but I think it's true. I mean, I really think that things like that set a tone in a stadium. And, you know, when there's Ralphie making the debut and if she has a really nice run, it will energize the stadium, and the players feel that. And I think that I think it does have an impact. Not a huge one, but I think it sets a little bit of a tone early on.
Yeah, there's a reason, you know, colleges – these programs think on this stuff so much, and they put the time and effort to get these pregame rituals in. And if it is a live animal, putting in the time and effort to train them, it does make a difference. There's something about it. That's part of that home field advantage.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a reason why, yeah, like you mentioned, all those things. There, we could probably spend an hour talking about some of the cool traditions in college football, and it's because they do something for the fans, right? And they do something to that game day atmosphere, and the players love it.
Brian, how do you think this is going to go down on Saturday night? The Buffs, last I checked, we're looking at a 13.5-point spread. The Buffs, of course, favored in this one. Do they win? Do they cover that?
Yeah, I think they cover. I think they win this one going away. I mean, to me, if they're a bowl team, they shouldn't have a problem winning this game, and it should be a fairly easy one. That's no disrespect to Wyoming, but Wyoming can't score offensively. I mean, they're averaging 8 points in their two games against FBS teams. And the Buffs need to hold them to somewhere near that. I think the Buffs win at like 35-13, something like that.
35-13 for Brian. All right, my friend, we'll see what happens. And good luck tomorrow night. Like I said, man, it's probably going to be like more of an 8:30 kickoff rather than 8:15. So, you know, drink your coffee, get your Red Bull, whatever you got to do. Maybe run with Ralphie a little bit and just kind of get yourself going.
Run behind her.
yeah, that's probably safe. Brian, appreciate it, my man. Love what you do, and we'll see how this one goes down, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Well, there we go. They're expecting her to do the full on run around, and you made fun of my full bore thing, more like full buff. Well done, Mike. Good job. All right, quick break coming up here. We'll wrap up this hour. UNC, they have had some heartbreakers the last 2 weeks. Heartbreakers against teams that were supposed to absolutely dominate them. How do they deal with a team like Houston Christian, where they're favored for the first time in a couple of weeks? We'll get to that. Also, the quarterback toilet bowl with Mike Danson, with himself, Tanner Schwint, the dude down the hall. Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
House presents Football Friday. On Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.